How do you equip yourselves? How do you get ready for your hobbies? How do you make sure you're ready to take on difficult challenges? If you know anything about me, I don't mind a bit of a pedal down the road on my pushy. And how do I equip myself for this? I get the bike, I get on the clothes, I get the bike shoes, the helmet, the speedo, the GPS, the drink bottle, etc., etc. It keeps going on. And this equips me to become a mammal. That's right, a mammal. A middle-aged male in Lycra. It's quite scary, really. But all this equipping does not make me a good bike rider at all. It doesn't make me ready to take on any challenge on the bike. But today, we're going to see how God equips us, Christians, for every challenge and why the Bible is the greatest gift. All right, before we start, let me give you a bit of a feeling for what's going on to Paul as he sends this to Timothy. Timothy is at Ephesus. He's assisting in setting that church straight. He writes back to him a few letters, like, you know, from one friend to another. 1 and 2 Timothy. We've got them in the Bible. To assist Timothy in knowing what to do, how to do it, and challenging him to stick with the task, no matter how difficult it might be. As he begins chapter 3, go back and read it later if you want. The key is really in that verse where Paul reminds Timothy that hard times are going to come against the church. Timothy shouldn't be surprised that he's enduring some difficult times in Ephesus. The church always lives in dangerous times. And the reason is because there are wicked men who attack the church, imposters, who are spiritual frauds, who endeavour to deceive and destroy the work of God. Church is always in danger from wicked men and for people who actively work against God. Now, Paul, as he's writing to Timothy, knows that it takes strengthened people to stand up against this. He was one. He wanted Timothy to be one, and certainly this scripture became scripture so that God might call us to be among those who take strong stands. Now, Paul knew that Timothy was to be a key leader in the church, that it would fall on Timothy to be a general of the army that would defend the faith. In every generation, God has to have people like that, who hold the line, who call for the perseverance, who pass it on to the next generation. And there's never been a generation that needs more, that needs that kind of character than this one. It's always been vital to the church, never more so than now. All right, let's move on. So that's where we're coming from. Look in your Bible, verses 10 through to 13. It tells us that strong defenders of the faith are usually produced by strong examples as their spiritual mentor. Turn to your Bibles. Let's read together. You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, life, endurance, persecution, suffering. What kind of things happened to me at Antioch, Iconium and Lystra? The persecutions I endured, yet the Lord rescued me from them all. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Now, the key thing I want you to note there and underline, highlight, are the two words in verse 10. You know. And I want to expand on this as one of my major concepts. Timothy, who they're writing to, had a great example, a mentor to trace his life on, namely Paul. This doesn't mean that Paul was perfect, by no means. But a champion of the truth like Paul wanted Timothy and us to learn at the feet of strong Christians, to learn from others. That was Timothy's case. Paul himself was the model. "You know," Paul says, and then lists all the things about himself that Timothy knew and followed. Timothy patterned his life after Paul. He saw that Paul suffered. Timothy saw that Paul was persecuted, and it didn't stop him. Now, we're all copiers. We're all mimics. We are all imitators. Who you pattern your life after is going to be who you turn out to be like in great measure. You're marked by your models. You're marked by your mentors. You're marked by the patterns you choose to follow. Your heroes, your examples mark you. That's why it's so important whose ministry you sit under. They will mark you. They will mark you with their convictions, with their perceptions, and their perspectives. If Timothy's going to be loyal and strong, if he's going to stand against the attack on the church, then he's going to be able to do that if he's patterned his life after someone who is like that. That's a challenge. Let's apply this. Let's put it into our lives. Who do we pattern our lives on? We need to look closely at who can mentor us, who can mould us, who can inspire us, who can we look to carefully guide our lives to greater spiritual strength. Jesus Christ, he's the man. He's the ultimate mentor. He's the one to model your life on. Where do we find him? In the Bible. And we'll get to that later on. So let's move on. Then in verse 12, he adds that Timothy should not be surprised by any of the persecutions. Indeed, he says, it's a fact. It's really true that all who desire to live godly will be persecuted. And the reason is because evil men and impostors will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. Timothy, it's not going to end. Timothy, it's not going to end for me, Paul, until I'm gone. It's not going to end for you till you're gone. It's not going to end for the church until the church is gone. It's just the way it is. All believers should anticipate to face this difficulty. Timothy, you've patterned your life after Paul, who endured more than most people will ever know. And you know how to handle it. You know how to endure it with patience and know that God understands and applauds you. Paul says, and don't be surprised for the future, because all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. There's no other way. That's how it has to be. Now let me take that statement apart just for a moment. All will be persecuted. All Christians who desire to live godly. If you're a disobedient, weak, uninvolved, unconcerned, apathetic person, you may never get persecuted. Best of luck to you. You're not a problem. But if you desire to live a godly life, you're going to get persecuted. But there's another qualifier here. Not even all those who desire to live godly lives will be persecuted, but all those who desire to live godly in whom? Jesus Christ, our mentor. But the point is, and I can't say it any better than God's word does, all who desire to live in God, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Because when you desire to live godly, then you're a threat. You're a threat to non-Christians. And you will be persecuted. That's a guarantee. That's a promise. So if you look at your life and you're not having a lot of persecution, maybe you haven't got a passion for being godly. Maybe you do not desire to be godly. Or maybe you're not in Christ Jesus. Now, it doesn't mean you're going to be persecuted all the time to the maximum level. There'll be varying times and seasons and varying degrees of persecution. But anyone who seeks to confront an ungodly society with a godly life in Christ Jesus is going to get some negative reaction. There will be hostility. Jesus said in John 15, "If they hated me, they'll hate you. In this world, you shall have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Count it a joy to be persecuted. The Bible puts you in the best company. And the world will react to an ungodly life. They have to. But there will come a time when God will judge us and he will applaud you and say, "Good and faithful servant," when you're going to heaven. The persecution's going to come. Timothy, he says, you ought to be ready for it. I've got a pattern to follow. You know how to handle it. It's going to come on you and it's going to come on everyone who seeks to live godly in Christ Jesus. Why? Because evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. So stand firm. Stand firm in your faith in Christ Jesus. How do we find him though? How do we find him? He's our mentor. He's the person we're meant to stand firm in. How do we relentlessly pursue and chase him? We read the Bible and we know the Bible. The people who are champions of the truth, that being the Bible, are the people who live on it. They breathe it. They sleep it. And Timothy had that tremendous privilege. It isn't some lucky skill, though, or an ability that you're just innately born with. These people who read God's word prioritize it, make time for it, schedule it in, read it around the dinner table like Warwick and his family. They put it into their daily routine, and it's not easy. So, two things. I'm going to wrap up with this. Two things I want you to grasp out of the last two verses. So, find along and follow with me. The last two verses. Timothy was, first of all, committed to the Word of God. He saw the authority of the word of God. Paul says to him, all scripture is God-breathed. Or, other people like to translate it, all scripture is breathed out from God. The Bible is the word of God. Notice that remarkable verse? Every word is critical. All scripture. Not some, not parts. All parts. It's all inspired by God. Do you realize what a great gift this is? This is a great gift of God. That scripture is the word of God. All scripture is inspired from God. It isn't that God breathed into a writer and he writes. It is that God breathed out the word and the writer is caused to write it down. It isn't that God blows on a man and he does something. It's that God speaks and the man records. It comes directly from God. That's why it's authoritative. But let's go on to the second aspect. Timothy and us were called to adhere to the authority of Scripture, but also its sufficiency. What is sufficiency? What does this mean? It means that the Bible is enough. It's all we need as Christians. It cannot be exhausted. Those who stand firm and true for the word of God are men who not only affirm the authority of Scripture, but they also affirm its sufficiency. Notice what he said. All scripture is God-breathed and useful. The word's useful, profitable, it's good for you. It is useful for teaching, for rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. The Bible is all we Christians need to equip us for every good work. What a statement. Let's get that into our heads. You want to teach people? You want to correct people? You want to straighten up people? You want to train them in righteousness? You want to make them absolutely adequate? You want to equip them for every good work? Then you give them what? What do you give them? You give them God's word, the Bible. So, persevere. Read the word of God. Be encouraged if you do. Be encouraged if you do read the Bible. It's God's gift to us. Persevere. Keep it up. If you don't, try it. Get into it. So, back to where I started from, back at the beginning. I was equipped with more bike stuff, but that made me no better of a bike rider. But God gives us his word. He promises that Christians who read the Bible will be equipped for everything. And just like Paul was a mentor for Timothy, Jesus is our mentor, our person to travel the journey with, to share with. How do Christians keep the relationship like Paul and Timothy? We read his words. God has given us the Bible to read, to know, what Jesus did for us. Why? Because he loves us. God loves us. God loves us so much, he gave his one and only Son. He gave us a Bible to read, to follow his Son, our mentor. So, are you meditating on your Bible? Are you reflecting on God's word? Why not take the challenge of the Bible Society's 25 words a day? 25, it's not that many. I read more than that in my, you know, on the newspaper. Read the Bible. It's God's gift to us. Why not read 2 Timothy? One chapter a night, you'll plow through it by the end of next week easily. Write some notes. Think about it. Or ask a friend to read the Bible with you. Might seem strange. I used to do it with some great friends on the coast. And personally, it was some of the best, most useful times in my life. And I know it will be the same for you. Amen.